Welcome to Parents' Perspective. I can't talk now, Mom, Judy sighed into the phone. Your grandson has decided he's not going to get dressed so we can go out. Yes, I know 2-year-olds are like that, but I have to get to the grocery store before rush hour. Anyway, I'll call you later when he's in bed. Judy put down the phone in time to catch 2-year-old Travis pulling off his pants. Travis! Judy grabbed his pants and sat her son down on the floor in front of her. We need to put on your pants so you and Mommy can go out.
No go out, Travis pouted. No pants.
But we're going to the grocery store, Judy cajoled. Remember, you can go for a ride in the shopping cart.
No cart, no ride, exclaimed Travis, squirming to get up.
Travis, Judy pleaded, if you help me get your pants on, then you can have a cookie.
Cookie!
Travis bellowed as he wriggled out of Judy's grasp. Cookie for Travis! And he launched himself toward the kitchen.
I wonder, Judy thought, as she hauled herself to her feet and headed after her toddler, have I already lost my mind, or is it just an ongoing process? From a parent's perspective, what should we know about toddlers? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest has been working with children and families in many different ways. Dr. Peggy Adams is a child psychiatrist in private practice, working with children, adolescents, young adults, parents, and families. She has worked with children in foster care, children in homes with domestic violence and sexual abuse, clinics with therapy with horses, art therapists, dance therapists, special education schools, and autistic children and adolescents. She works also at the Kennedy Krieger Institute in Baltimore, where she's studying their program in energy medicine. Dr. Adams is the mother of a 12-year-old son. Welcome to Parents' Perspective, Dr. Adams.
Thank you so much. It's good to be here.
What would you say is the biggest misconception we have about toddlers?
Sometimes we lose sight of the biggest gift, which is ourselves, our own presence, our time that doesn't get intruded on, which is difficult given the story we just heard with all the scheduling and all the pressures on us as parents now, but some protected time and a way to give the gift of our own attention and presence to our toddler.
That's such a wonderful sort of byline for raising a family altogether, mm-hmm. and even dealing with a spouse, we sort of forget that the gift of ourselves is the biggest gift.
Yeah. You know, and in a way, to give the gift of ourselves to our children, first we need to give it to ourselves, because we need to have ourselves to give. And if our minds are full of just daily schedules and the to-do list, and how are we going to squeeze all this in, not only do we put a lot of pressure on ourselves, we have a hard time entering the time frame of the toddler, who is on a whole different time frame, and we end up in a battle around how are we going to get him or her in the car, how are we going to get this task done. When I used to work in foster care, people that had decision-making capacity seemed to think that children had no memory until they could speak, and yet there is a memory before then. And it's a different kind of memory than the place where we live in our cognitive mind and how we process information. But it's a real memory, and it really matters. And people have documented body memories, things like that. It's easy also to think of the crying that toddlers are so good at doing, either the mad crying or the just falling apart crying, as being a sign of the hurt. And as parents, of course, we want to try to help our children not be hurt. We want to protect them from hurts and heal their hurts. And sometimes we mistake the crying for the hurt. And so we try quickly to help the crying go away, when the crying itself can be a kind of a body way of working out the hurt. And if it has its own rhythm and its own allowing, that there's something that comes.
Developmentally, what is a toddler's biggest challenge, would you say?
It's wonderful because it's such an exciting time of life. So much is happening and developing, and some lifelong issues are starting. So, you know, we think of the word toddler, it kind of brings to mind getting balance, even though by the time a toddler is older, they're running fast, sometimes faster and quicker than we can ever hope to catch them. But the beginning of that time is really just starting to balance, kind of one foot and the other, a wide gait, getting the feet on the ground. And that kind of balance, it doesn't just happen at the body level, but it's kind of a paradigm for what's happening emotionally too. So there's a lot to balance at that age. And I would say the balance between lots of different systems that are growing. So one of those balances is independence and dependence, kind of like in your story, Sandra, where balancing the immediate need right now, being overwhelmed with me and I and me do it and I me and I'm different from you, versus knowing, clinging and wanting the dependence. So that's one big balance. Another balance is the world before language, where we live totally in our bodies in a sensory world. We're washed over with sounds. We're washed over with new experiences, to walking, starting to develop language. And this is a double-edged sword, really. It is so powerful. And as parents, we get so excited with that first word, and it allows us to get what we want and name things and manipulate things in our mind to understand the world. And yet it also is a loss of this other world, where it's the world that exists that's the deeper world, where adults slip into sometimes during lovemaking or during those silent moments with another person that's beyond words, or sometimes during a spiritual experience. So the balance of those two worlds is also happening as language develops during this time, between what the child wants and what the parent wants, just like this story, that balance and how to live with that and live with the immediate strong needs that overtake the child in the beginnings of a memory that something exists outside of our sight and sound right now, that there is something that we can remember or will happen that we don't know right now, but very powerful urges of being consumed right now with what we're feeling.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on toddlerhood with Dr. Peggy Adams.
The popular new book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents, by Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We are talking with Dr. Peggy Adams about toddlers.
In today's world, you see a number of parents teaching toddlers some signs, sign language. And it's so interesting to see a child use a sign before he can say the word that goes with it.
Yes, that's a wonderful thing. And if the parents are watching closely, a lot of times the toddler, the young toddler, in the first half of that second year, will create their own signs. And they'll use that, what we call gestural language. So, you know, before they can say cracker, they'll take their mom and pull her, or their dad and pull her over and point or create signs. So it's wonderful you can introduce signs or watch closely and use a child's own signs before the language comes in.
They learn the sign no, the shaking of the head.
Pretty young.
Yes, yes.
What ages are we talking about when we talk about toddlerhood?
Well, you know, I think people think of toddlerhood as maybe starting anywhere between around 12 months and 18 months. And some children, if we think of toddlerhood as starting with getting up and starting that toddling walking, some children start that as early as 9 months. Other children may not walk until they're, you know, close to 15 or 16 months. So there's quite a range. But emotionally, the time that we're talking about is probably more the first half of the second year. And as parents, it's so easy to get into, oh, this is supposed to happen at this month. You know, is my child doing it at this month? And like most of life, we're on a continuum, so that it's a little unrealistic, even though I had to memorize all of that in my training. It kind of got in my way as a mother because it really is a continuum. So in a frame of time is when those events happen. And the end of toddlerhood probably is maybe around 2.5 or so, in the beginning of a preschool time. But again, there are phases to it. So people talk about a younger toddler time, an older toddler time, and they're quite different. Yeah. I remember decades ago, it made an impression on me, I guess. I was in a flower store, and it must have been Mother's Day, because a father was in this crowded store, and they were picking out some flowers, and he had a toddler with him. He was saying, okay, this would be a nice one for Mommy. And the toddler said loudly, so everybody in the store heard, mine! And that happened over and over again. So that kind of shows part of what we're struggling with this.
Dr. Adams, how can parents be helpful to their developing toddlers?
Parents are also in the same balancing that the toddler's in. And the balances are between all the tasks that need to get done and being in the moment with their child. The parents are also figuring out how much to meet the needs for dependence and how much to encourage independence. And the nature of their child, because all children, you know, have their own temperament, and all of us as adults have our own temperament too. So it's really the space between us that is getting developed, and we're influencing each other. The other ways we're balancing is around control and permissiveness. Where is the balance point with being over-permissive and allowing all the rages to go, hoping that they'll express themselves and work out, versus finding some kind of limit? So that's another balance. And again, every person and family and child is working that out in a different way. The other balance is between the child and the world. So we are the intermediaries for that. It may be as simple as making sure the child doesn't run out into traffic, or making sure somebody who's running down the street or an older child on a scooter, you know, sees the little one who's below their sight. So we are negotiating those two worlds, the grown-up world where we talk at the adult level, we're trying to get our own needs met, and the world with the toddler. And it can be pretty disconcerting to have your toddler need your attention, and also you need to be dealing with something and how to find that balance point. And then attending to our toddler's needs and our own needs, which a lot of times get put on the back burner. But if we don't tend to them, we have nothing to give, of course. So those are some of the ways that we are challenged and how we can help. One of the main ways that we can help is by connecting with our toddler. And again, if we can have a place where we can connect with ourselves in some small way even, and then we find a way to connect with the toddler and join with them. Our connecting with them allows us then to have more influence with them. Have you heard that saying, laughter is the shortest distance between two people? Mm-hmm. So if we can find a way to have fun and laugh together and follow our toddler's interest, it can be so exciting because they are full of wonder and the world is new and they're ready to explore and they see so many things that we miss.
That almost sounds like we need to turn the clock with its face to the wall a little bit and live in the moment.
That would be wonderful if we can just do that for 10 minutes in a day. Because obviously we have so many roles, we can't do that all the time. But if we can do that, and that's why sometimes in some cultures, from what I've heard, it's the older generation that raises the young, because they aren't trying to do so much to establish themselves, get so much accomplished, that there is that the same time shared between a grandparent or an older person. But we can all enter that time. We don't have to be a certain age to enter that time. To see things from a toddler's point of view, find some time to get down on the floor and literally look at what does it look like from down here. And to get that perspective, you almost need to be there. And all of a sudden, you know, the dog's teeth are at our eye level. And we may understand more that big reaction that our child has to the dog. The other sense we may get is, what would it be like if we were playing very absorbed in our play, and as a parent, if we're there, and then we look up, and the person that we were counting on being is gone. Mm-hmm. And that's such a common thing, because it works so well. If we need to leave our child somewhere, we interpret the crying as the hurt, and so we do something, and the child gets distracted, or another person is with the child, and we sneak out. Then what's it like to all of a sudden not there? That's a much more disconcerting feeling. And until we get to have that feeling a little bit ourselves, it's hard to know what it could be like.
So it's better to tell the child, I'm going to leave, even if the child cries.
Yeah, that's what I would recommend. And then the crying becomes a way to work it out. Babies initiate a lot with parents, and we respond to them all the time. Allow the child to initiate activity and to begin it, and say when you're beginning and say when you're stopping, so it doesn't get confused with other times where we do need to be the benign dictator with our child. And if the child initiates, we simply are nearby and following the child's lead. And sometimes, and if the child runs fast, we kind of run with them. And if they're slow, we're slow. And they may often turn to us because we're maybe the most interesting thing around.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion with Dr. Peggy Adams.
For an audio CD of any parent's perspective show, send a check or money order for $15 with your name, mailing address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C. 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with Dr. Peggy Adams about toddlers.
What should parents avoid doing or saying? You gave us a lot of things that we should do. Are there things we have to remember absolutely not to do?
Right.
That we probably would do.
Yes. Well, I guess the first thing is, you know, our child needs protection. So how do we provide a safe environment for our child? And we all want to do that. And so we wouldn't want to put our child at risk of any kind. There can be kind of an emotional risk of just being too tired, too hungry, dragged around too much. And so how to be mindful of that and sometimes just stop, even though it may not be convenient or what our rhythm would be. And there's some other kinds of overstimulating too. How to read our child's cues. Little babies look away. They can't move too much, but they can move their eyes as early as 3 months, almost as well as adults. So little babies look away, which is saying, this is too much. I can't look at it anymore. It's an over-exuberant attempt to get me to respond. And so toddlers can be overstimulated too by too much. Even though we may love to tickle, you know, we want to be respectful of their body and read the cues. We may have experienced some way of being disrespected, and sometimes that may be teasing or shame, so we want to be aware of that. Doing too much for the child, like instead of encouraging autonomy and them getting independent, taking over the things that they can do too much. And we can sometimes just do a little bit. If they're learning to do something, we can get it started and they can take it over.
Sometimes it's hard to be patient when they're trying to pick up something on a fork and you want to put the fork in for them.
I know, it's so hard.
You have to let them keep working at it.
Yeah, that struggle is really where it's at. And then they get that good feeling. at a clinic where I was working. The child was in the second half of the toddler time and struggling with this dependence. And the little boy was working so hard at one of those toys where you push something and something pops up, but it had a little bit harder things, like he had to turn it, and it was hard for him. It was right on the edge of his ability, but he really wanted to do it. And it was so exciting when he had the effect that the toy was designed to help him with. And he would struggle, and he'd pull his mom's arm and show her he wanted help. And as soon as she reached her arm over to help him, he pushed her away and me, and back and forth they went in this dance. And the mother was so patient, she just sat there, let herself be pulled into it, and then respected him when he wanted to do it himself. So it's that being there so they can run off and leave you and come back to.
What about socialization for this age group, Dr. Adams? What is it for this age group, and how important is it?
Well, you know, again, it depends on temperament, and some children are just very social. They love people. They get so fed and nurtured by people, and others are very shy, and it's overwhelming for them. So again, tuning into your particular toddler and following their lead and letting it be okay. This is a time where the foundation of the structure is getting made, and we don't ever expect a foundation to look like the finished building. So we let them be in this time without needing them to be different than they are. So we follow their lead, and if they're looking for people and we can do that, we provide that. A lot of times the socialization is with another adult, and the joy comes from making a new relationship with an adult. But children that are around children certainly play near each other and together, and it's too much to expect sharing, really, even though that's our ultimate goal, to have generous adults. The inner life that's growing isn't ready for that, and taking turns is something we can talk about. So they imitate each other, and sometimes, though, they'll just ignore the other child's body and crawl right over it to get out of the sandbox.
What resources would you suggest for our listeners who want to further pursue some of the issues we've been discussing?
I'll mention ones that may not be as well known. There's a series of small books by a woman named Erna Furman, F like in Frank, U-R-M-A-N. And they are a series called Helping Young Children Grow. And they're three very small books. They're perfect for parents of toddlers because they're very small and you can just pick up and read a few pages. One is Relationships in Early Childhood. The second is Self-Control and Mastery in Early Childhood. And the other is Needs, Urges, and Feelings in Early Childhood. She's also written a bigger book called Toddlers and Their Mothers. Another book is a book called Oneness and Separateness by Louise Kaplan. Then there is one, Mindful Parenting by Jon Kabat-Zinn. And in terms of talking to children, an old one that's still very useful is Between Parent and Child by Dr. Chaim Gnott, G-I-N-O-T-T, and then Respectful Parents, Respectful Kids, and that can be gotten through a website for nonviolent communication, www.cnvc. I think that the curriculum at the Waldorf schools helps to support young children's play in the way that develops their inner life. If people wanted to look at a curriculum, they could see it under www.waldorfschool.org. There's also some websites for people who want to homeschool their children. And one of those websites is www.bobnancy.com. And a related website that supports children's play is www.allianceforchildhood.org. Alliance. I have a private office in Ellicott City, Maryland, and I will just leave that phone number. That's 410-313-8119.
Okay, well, you have given us an awful lot to go on and a lot of information and a lot of encouragement. So, Dr. Peggy Adams, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for listening.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our latest book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address and mention show number 372. And tell us, if you can, what station you are tuning into.
Visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org, where you can even listen to a show of your choice. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents Perspective. Today's program was made possible with generous support from our listeners. Our sound engineer is Will Wakert. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.